Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 yo. Welcome to Sports Talk with DT. This is DT on the line. Tonight, live on IFM Radio Nation, we will be talking the restart of the NBA season. I have my friend, my brother, my colleague, Mr. David Wilson on the line. Mr. Wilson, how are you, sir?
I am blessed. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing awesome. So we're going to get right into the interview. We're going to get right into the show tonight. So the NBA has announced that the NBA will restart on July the 31st in Orlando, Florida, at a neutral site. What are your thoughts on that?
It's going to be great for the fans. The fans are going to love it. It'd be great for the basketball and the nation as a whole because we've been missing some competitiveness,
yeah.
And it's just going to help the camaraderie of the world. But safety-wise, I just hope they know what they're doing.
Well, Mr. Wilson, we all know that, to me, it kind of seems like the NBA, I want to say that the NBA is rushing the decision. I just feel like that. I just think that the NBA should have thought it out more because due to everything that they're doing right now, for example, they're talking about using the crowd sounds off of 4K just
Jesus.
To give that crowd effect to the, those that will be watching, and they're limited on who they're going to allow into the arena. Like, should fans feel like that this is kind of like a watered down product of basketball, or should fans just be glad that the NBA is back?
I think
fans should be glad that the NBA is back because regardless of the fact. You know, just like I know, we talk about it, it seems like it's going to be on, whatever the case may be. But once the ball starts bouncing, the adrenaline starts flowing, it's going to be basketball. And regardless if it's not going to be fans in there, they're going to pump some noise in the arena. The players are going to give it their all, regardless. And it's just going to be good for the game. But like you said, the NBA rushed the decision based on trying to be popular, in my opinion, to appease certain people. And I you don't have everything. You don't have all the data. Yeah, we're opening the world back up. The numbers have started to go low. But the numbers went low because of what we did before, the isolation, the stay-at-home orders, things of that nature. So now we're going to start getting back around with people moving around each other and things of that nature. Are the numbers going to spike? Y'all talking about a second wave. What's going to happen? You should be patient and you should wait. But I think I think that this judgment was made because you wanted to appease certain people. And again, don't forget, the networks, they pay big bucks for that product.
And there it is. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when we're desperate to receive. That's the only reason that we are that the NBA is here, man. You know, this is like so typical, without any sort of concern for those players, without any sort of concern for whatever. Let's be honest. The main reason why there's even a restart here is because of money, and that's how disgusting this is. There's really no reason to even continue the season outside of money. What's the value? Plus, also add that they're going to have, if we're not mistaken, 22 teams, right? So it won't be the full
Absolutely.
League, which is okay. But look, there was no consideration about the other teams that got left out so that they can get some work. So now the other teams had to go ahead and think about, well, look, can we have a tournament or something to keep our work in it? So now it's not even a full league benefit. It's a partial league benefit, you know. So this is all sloppy, to be honest with you. I know fans and whoever is like, well, look, I'm just desperate for basketball, and that's the problem. When you're desperate for a product, you take whatever you can get. And now this restart is happening, and who knows what's going to happen. I want to also real quick just want to address what the brother said about the numbers. We don't know any numbers. We just know reported numbers. We don't know if any of these things are accurate. So I could see it's easy to see a scenario where the numbers might be skewed because they don't want to cause an alarm, or it may be flurry, not flurry, it may be muddy because, well, look, let's not set off any sort of panic situation to where, well, because we opened way too early or way too rushed, that now all of a sudden it's going to be worse off than it is. And there is a definite second wave predicted in September. And this thing was supposed to end in August, right? Oh, wow.
Right.
This was smart. Come on, man. There's no way to
All right, so, Barack, so let me go here then. So,
sure.
I wanted to jump on a point that you said that it was kind of like a watered-down product because the teams that was not selected, they suggested to the NBA that, hey, let us have a junior summer league tournament or something to keep our work in. So my question is, what if there's a night where, let's say, the Pistons are playing the Cavaliers versus the Portland Trail Blazers, who was one of the 22 teams taking on, let's just say, the Utah Jazz, for example.
Okay.
Are fans going to be asked to decide on what game is on their television screen that night?
They definitely are. And there's no big secret. You're talking to a Pistons fan over here. So I could care less about Portland or Utah if the Pistons are, and even with just the curiosity of what teams like the Pistons are going to look like, you know, just so we can see it on the court. So me, on a personal level, yes, I want to see the Pistons play even the Cavaliers that got that certain player on the team. Fine. But fans will be asked to choose, and the casual fan is going to choose the Portland team because of how that NBA is going to promote it. That's another thing that's not really being talked about. NBA is not going to equally promote all of these games. And wait a minute. Let's talk about I want to go to the training camp. Isn't that training camp only supposed to be, I forget, maybe like a couple of days, maybe a week at max, and then you go ahead and
They're giving them a week to get ready. They haven't been off all this time, to have competitive games for somebody to go blow a knee out, and God forbid that happen, somebody go blow a knee out, somebody strain it. Look at LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yes,
most of the players already assumed that the season was going to be canceled, so they have a season ending. LaMarcus Aldridge had season ending surgery on his shoulder in April. He can't compete.
Right. Then
you want to have the odds makers. Well, the odds makers, the Spurs are invited, am I correct?
No.
No.
The Spurs are
invited?
Not invited. No.
Okay, well, it doesn't matter. But then you have the odds makers that want to take Brooklyn and raise their stakes because, KD's coming back and Kyrie's coming back. And KD shut that down immediately. I'm not coming back this season.
Smart man.
I'm waiting until next season and to see what was going on. This was an ill-prepared rush decision because of money, like my brother said, but it was also to appease certain players and franchises.
And now that
it just was.
Well, and to agree with you, here's I know this is a talk format. Don't want to add a question to a question. The question is going to be, what's the long-term gain of this? So you rush this product back. Injuries are going to happen on the court. Players really don't want to play this stuff. There's been reports of that. Let's not overlook that. It's not like every player is like, I'm so excited to have to be not even 25% prepared to do a whole bunch of grind against the best players in the world. So what's the long-term gain? So let's say one of these franchises they want to appease are the Los Angeles Lakers because of their big market and blah, 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 kiss the butt thing, whatever. What is it going to do for the Lakers or the NBA to say, because we rushed this back, and let's say the Lakers do win this abbreviated championship. That means what for anything? How does this help the other teams?
Okay,
Let me
go here then. If the Lakers win, if the Lakers so happen to win, is their championship validated?
Not really. I don't think so. No, look.
I'm kidding.
Well, yeah, and okay, so first of all, no matter what, an NBA championship is an NBA championship, right? We had a shortened season back in 99. Spurs win, you know, at first it was like, who cares? But then you look back through history, when it's brought up, that still counts as David Robinson's title. That helped him solidify himself as one of the greatest centers to play. It also helped solidify later on Tim Duncan when he won in 02, if I'm not mistaken. So
absolutely.
I'll say short term, of course, short term is going to be a laughable thing. Lakers, you won basically a Summer League NBA championship is what you won, Lakers. A Summer League NBA championship. Congrats. Okay. Now, but maybe look about 2 decades from now, that will be like, hey, the Lakers won, and LeBron got another title. That's his 4th title. You see what I'm saying? So that's
absolutely
that's how it's going to play out, obviously. And again, the main wild card for this will be the hype machine of the NBA press boys known as the ESPN. They're going to hype it too.
Absolutely. You know he's going to be over something. Like this, especially with them, especially with ESPN being the sponsor of Disney World. I mean, and the neutral site is at Disney World, so it just kind of all makes sense for ESPN to have their hand in this. Once again, we're live on Sports Talk with DT. We're talking the NBA restart with my man Barack and Dave. Hey, make sure you tune in to the R&R show every Wednesday and Friday night right here on IFM Radio Nation, the R&R show with my boy Rolo Solo Dolo. Hey, so Dave or Barack, whoever wants to jump in, with this NBA getting ready to restart, when we look at the makeup of the rosters, who does this shortened season kind of favor, if that makes sense? Me personally, I'm gonna start it because me personally, I like on this shortened season, I like a team like the Bucks. The Bucks is a team that can get up and down the floor. They have a lot of upsides, and if we can scroll back to the beginning of the season, I believe it was the same Milwaukee Bucks who started the season at like 18-2, 18-3. They went on a crazy streak to start the season. I mean, and with this short season coming in, I believe the way that they have the ability to play quick and play fast, I believe that this short season favors the Bucks. Go right ahead, gentlemen.
So I'm going to lean – Bucks is definitely in the ballpark. Off the top of my head, I'm saying which teams are the deepest, because we just spoke of injuries, and it's going to be so critical that the bench play is good. Which bench was playing good? So I think a team like Philly had a little bit of a kind of sort of bench, but not enough. Their starters were weird, so I'm not going to put Philly in this. A dark horse team, I thought about the Phoenix Suns for some reason, just because they don't have nothing to lose and no one respects them. So they may. I'm not saying they're going to win it. No way. But it's possible they could like have an upset here or there, maybe kind of. Can't forget, unfortunately, I would like to forget the Clippers. Can't forget the Clippers. But I'm definitely going to go ahead and join with the brother and say I'm feeling the Bucks, and I'm curious about a team like Utah. The Bucks in Utah kind of do something. I would say Denver, but nah. The Bucks in Utah, I think, have the favorite. Will these teams win it? Don't know. But I think they have a favorable path to cause some noise. And the Bucks have a definite chance to win. Oh, the Bucks have a super chance to win. Easily. With their style, the deepness of the team, the bench, the Bucks have a definite chance to win.
Dave, who you got?
Let's look at what happened. The layoff, first of all, the layoff helped all these teams, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Those that were healthy, and those that were injury, like Clippers. Now you guys mentioned the Clippers. The Clippers were hanging in tough with one lineup with Kawhi, one lineup with Paul George. So I think that with this layoff and people getting healthy and things like that, it tremendously helped the Clippers. It's going to be between the two LA teams coming down to it. But I do want to agree with you guys on the Bucks. The Bucks did nothing but rest. This did nothing but help them rest up and get ready. So it's going to be a bomb. But I think that the Lakers and I think that the Clippers will end up battling. Now, I don't know. Are they still doing? Because I haven't really. I'm really against this startup. so I really haven't been following it as much as I should have been. Are they doing what I hope they should do, which is if they're going to do 22 teams, are they doing just regular seeding, or are they doing still East and West?
I think they're doing best seeds.
Right.
What would make this more interesting for me as a fan is if you make it straight seeding. Give me one through. What are they doing? 1 through 16, or are they doing 1 through 22? Huh?
It's going to be 1 through 16, but the other 16.
So give me 1 through 16. Let the one seed play the 16 seed. Give me some excitement. Give me something what I've already missed, which was in March, the March Madness. Give me something that somebody could pop up and surprise me, just be based on the seeding. If the matchup just don't go a certain way or something of that nature, you know what I'm saying? Anything can happen in this matchup compared to, well, you know, LeBron and them are going to easily crush Phoenix as a 1-8 seed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You give Phoenix no hope in the first round. But
which
if you get a 16 seed, go ahead.
Which brings me to my next point. Do we feel as if that the NBA are going to, like you said, Dave, kind of stage the games, if that's the right way to put it, so that this team favors this team? Because I really believe that the NBA could have done, if this restart was just adamantly that it just had to happen, like the NBA couldn't get out of it, you just had to restart the season, I believe that the NBA could have done something that was innovative, if that makes sense, something that was outside of the norm. Like, for example, when Kobe Bryant passed away, how they just changed the All-Star game just like that. You know what I mean? And everybody wore 24. You know, they was playing for a purpose. You know, I wanted to see the NBA kind of do something that was, you know, that was never seen or done before, that would say, hey, it's different, but hey, I like it. You know what I mean? Is this one of those scenarios, or again, do we feel that, you know, the NBA just want to get paid? Because, I mean, with all the
bottom line is, anytime you talk about NBA, you're talking about money. Period.
Yep.
The motivating factor for the NBA, for the NFL, for the NBL, NHL, although they don't make much money, any deciding factor will be money. If it benefits that logo to make money, it's going to happen. If it benefits, in this case in the NBA, it benefits the NBA, it benefits Disney, and it benefits ESPN. They're all going to push for it to go on. And that's the reason why Adam Silver got so much pressure to start the season, because truth be told, if you guys remember, when they canceled the season, maybe 2 weeks afterwards, when the numbers were spiking across the world, Adam Silver was very much in favor, and all except for saying flat out, the season's going to be canceled. We're just going to wait till next year, till all of this, till we find out what's going on. 2 weeks after that, they canceled the season, Adam Silver basically said, it is safe. We're going to do what's safe for our fans and our players, and we might have to wait for the season and then cancel this season going forward.
Okay, so did Commissioner Silver receive pressure from the players union? Because it's been reported that. Go ahead.
Okay, so see, now this is where we get to a very fragile piece of the conversation, because unfortunately for us, we're dealing with what's reported. And keep in mind where we're getting most of these reports from. Say it with me. ESPN.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Yeah, let's be honest. Yeah. So now we're dealing with what type of information do we really have? So I want to address the brother first, because he brought up an excellent point. When the NBA season was first canceled, hey, I'm Adam Silver. I'm the commissioner. And he said this word that gave him an out. We might. Here is public relations lesson number one. Whenever you hear might, that means it's being negotiated. That means it's not definite. And I know a lot of fans of basketball.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? And a lot of fans don't really get that to where they say, well, wait a minute. He said that he's going to cancel it. Incorrect. He said might. By him saying might, now we're going to go to what the brother said about the players' union. Also, let's go to sponsors. If we're going to go players' union, we got to go with sponsors. That's a role here. So now we have the players' union role. I think the players' union at first, based off a different, here we go, ESPN, Fox Sports, whatever reports we're getting, they were basically like saying, look, we want our players safe. Now, of course, later on, the reports were kind of shifting it on the players' union to say, well, it's their fault because they want to be sure that their players get paid. So they almost had the players' union seem like agents of the players, which they're not. The players' union, right, to remind individuals, this is a union designed for the safety of the players, and they represent if a player is getting money taken away. But they don't advocate for raises like that. That's what their agents are there for. The players' union is not, how about this, according to black and white definition, is not supposed to be the agent of the players. But see,
well,
that was being blamed on
I spoke
on
the players' union, Barack, because and this is the only reason I bring up the players' union, because that the NBA filed a grievance with the players' union in saying that the players owe the NBA money back because I guess they get so much per game check, and they feel as if it was violating their players' contracts, because it's in players' contracts that you have to play in a percentage of games to receive your game check, and with the cancellation of games, obviously games have been played, so therefore game checks were still being paid out by the NBA. Now the NBA is trying to recoup some of that money, so that's why I said maybe the pressure is come from the players' union, because the players' union has stated as a rebuttal, it's not our fault that games get canceled. So why should we be penalized financially for our game checks when it's not our fault games get canceled?
So that's why
I felt as if that the union kind of put some pressure on the league. Well, if you want us to pay y'all back, let's get back to work.
Well, let's take a look at that differently now. Okay, I'm sure everyone probably listening to this, probably in the conversation, has either worked a job or worked a business. Now, we know how this goes down. Whenever a business suffers a loss, especially if it's a typical United States capitalist business, what's the first thing they're going to do? How do we dump expenses, and how do we save our own butts? Of course the NBA league is going to trash on the players and say, well, guys, we had game cancellation. See, there's something in the contract called the tone and intent of said agreement. That's a fancy word for saying within some common sense or within some basic sense, what do we mean by these things? If that contract says cancellation of games, there's also a clause in that contract, I would imagine, as large as the NBA is, that says something by acts of God. Act of God would be, let's say, all of a sudden an earthquake came and swallowed up all the stadiums in the world. That's not the fault of the players. The players shouldn't be penalized for that. That will be covered in there. So that was.
Let me jump in real quick and help on that.
Please.
On that act of God. The act of God, prime example, Hurricane Katrina.
My man.
Hurricane
My
Katrina.
Man. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about act of God. The dams here in Michigan. Those are prime examples of what he's saying. You can't penalize somebody for those situations. So if we were in the NBA season, or if we were in a case in point, when they had Hurricane Katrina and they had to move the Hornets, they moved them so they could continue playing in that season, so they could have that season go along.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, brother. Just popped in my head. And I
no,
had to
no, no, no.
Throw
wait,
it
wait.
Out there.
What you're saying goes completely with the point. You just said, if a game is missed, it has to be on what the players controlled and if they skipped games, not if they were not allowed. So let's go back to the act of God. Is this COVID-19, going to apologize in advance. Is the COVID-19, the coronavirus, is that an act of God? Because isn't that the reason why the games were canceled?
I'm going to give an unpopular answer and say yes, it is. Because I believe I'm a firm believer that I mean, and I say this on the lightest but tightest feet that I could stand on. Everything that happens in this world, I believe God allowed it to happen. Because
absolutely.
I believe that God allowed things to happen so that people could wake up. God is to be doing some things in this world to try to get people attention, so he allows certain things to happen. That's just
well,
how
a
I feel about it. On the light side of it.
So to follow that, the way this was reported by the individuals and corporations and scientists and WHO, whoever you want to put there, you want to put Fauci in there, knock yourself out. But the way this was reported by them, they said it's a virus. They said it was an act of God. They said that clearly. So if it's an act of God, that means it matches the same thing. And by the way, when the games were moved with Hurricane Katrina, when the games were moved, when the games were canceled due to snowstorms, that happened before. Were the players penalized for that game? A lot of those games were, I'm talking about through the NBA history, some of those games were not compensated. And when I mean compensated, I'm saying they were not basically, quote-unquote, made up. Those games were just canceled because the season wouldn't allow it. Right? But then those players weren't – right. Those players weren't punished for that. So to punish these players for this, which is, see, now here we go with Pandora's box, ladies and gentlemen. First, if you're saying that, well, no, that's different. This is something the players are just going to have to eat and swallow. You're saying the coronavirus and COVID-19 is not an act of God. That's a whole other thing to discuss. Now let's say, well, no, we're not saying that it was, let's just say, influenced. We're saying that the coronavirus is an act of God. If you're saying it's an act of God, then the contract dispute and the thing you're trying to go after the players for is completely null and void. Because our company, we deal with entertainment contracts 24/7. So I'm kind of cheating. Whenever you have act of God, that nullifies any damage or financial damage that can go to said organization. That's like basic. A high school company will write that. NBA has that. What the NBA is doing, they're doing a public relations two-step to say, look, well, guys, we want to be sure we look good, blame them, and get our money. It goes back to money. So if the players' union has some horrible representation that lets themselves get played by that, that's a double whammy. First, now you got cornered to force these players to risk their lives and livelihood and their families' lives. Remember, after the first week, now the families are going to be allowed into this Orlando bubble to share
absolutely
whatever's going on. Let's not forget that either. And just to be clear, I'm personally completely against the restart of the season. It's stupid. But, hey, who am I? But that's what we're dealing with.
It serves no purpose except for the restart serves no purpose except for the steel egos.
Yeah.
It serves
it's
no
sad
purpose but the steel pockets and the steel egos. I'm sorry. Because
I agree.
Like you said before, what is this serving? Are we putting an asterisk on this championship? I mean, a championship is a championship, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You can't take
mm-hmm
anything away from people that win championships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be ready. Everybody knows when you're in competitive sport, it's an excuse if you do anything other than be ready when your number and name is called.
Right.
Having said that, to say this, if I can fatten my pocket while I'm sitting up here putting other people in jeopardy, as the NBA is doing, as ESPN is doing, as Disneyland is doing, then you see what's going on. We have two things going on in this world, and not to take it away from the topic of the subject tonight. We have two crises going on in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Which one are you paying attention to? Because like my brother said, NBA is doing nothing but a song and a dance right now. They could easily cancel this if they really were concerned about the safety of fans and players. That's the smartest thing to do. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going on. You don't know what's coming. Why
right
risk everything?
All right, So with about a month ago, may have been a month and a half ago, when there was, I guess, preliminary talks about a restart, and they were saying that they would play without any fans in the arenas. And LeBron James came on adamantly and stated that if that is the plan, he will not play. Now, as of late, that the NBA has announced the restart, he's kind of changed his approach to I'm just ready to get back to work. Like, why all of a sudden the change of heart from Mr. James?
Hey, Malcolm X.
We're gonna leave our LeBron James. I guess personal feelings about James to the side for a minute, Brock. I know how you go.
Yeah. And this is not okay. So this is not about. This is not so much about LeBron James. It's about the star player role in a league like that. LeBron James is the face of the NBA. That's where this whole angle's coming from. It's not about no GOAT argument. It's not about if he this or he that. We're done with that. This is strictly about LeBron James. Let me say something. Malcolm X said, and I have to paraphrase this. But Malcolm X said, when somebody is so into what massa's doing, they will defend the house more than massa will. So LeBron at first could go ahead and say whatever he wants. But then Massa going to come knocking. Hey, Bron, guess what, bruh? We, quote, unquote, need you to support this move. Because after all, we have a problem. Yes, Massa, we have a problem. Now LeBron James is going to change the tune. Let's not, and also, it's not just LeBron James now. There's another shade to this. LeBron, who does LeBron James play for again? The Los Angeles Lakers. How important is the Los Angeles Lakers to the NBA? Oh my gosh!
Right.
That's a second story franchise. An NBA.
You know, the NBA basically boils down to three franchises. For those that don't know, I know these brothers know, so I'm not even questioning that. But NBA boils down to Boston Celtics, New York Knicks, Los Angeles Lakers. Is it because of the quality of basketball and championships for the Lakers and Celtics? Yeah, but it's for the location and media markets they're in. See, this one we got.
So, just as a throw in, could we potentially, arguably, throw Philadelphia in that mix? Philadelphia is storing just how Boston and Knicks in LA is.
I don't know. And listen, I see it either way. I'm just going to take it like this. Philly is not the media market that either one of those other teams are. And don't give me, and I know Philly and Boston are close, but now Philly is not that media. Now, historically, yeah, Philly matches up now. Hold on. Philly matches up historically very well, I might add. But media market is at stake because that's the money. You know, that's the whole supply and demand and people and audience and sponsorship and blah, blah, blah. Philly's not quite on that level. No.
All right, Dave, so what do you feel about what LeBron stated? Why all of a sudden change your heart?
You want to say, I'm not a LeBron fan. I know you said keep your feelings about LeBron. I'm not a LeBron fan, nor do I hate LeBron, but I'm not a LeBron fan. But saying that, LeBron has to go with where the money is. LeBron's human. LeBron's a man. LeBron has to satisfy the expenditures that he's created, him and his family have created. So wherever the money is, that's where LeBron's going to be. If it's in favor of playing, he's going to be on favor of playing. His plateau is not that strong to where he could say, I'm not playing in front of fans, and the NBA go with him. He still has to go with the NBA in the majority. So that's why you have a change of heart of why he went aboard and said, I don't want to play with fans. I don't want to play without fans, but now I'm going to play without fans. Because you have to go where the money is.
Absolutely. Once again, this is Sports Talk with DT. We're live. We're talking the restart of the NBA season with my man, The Rock, and Dave. Make sure you tune into the R&R show every Friday, Wednesday and Friday night right here on IFM Radio Nation. Hey, so guys, I want to talk about a team like the Houston Rockets. Now, it's been all over Instagram how Russell Westbrook has been working out. It's been reported that he has gained a few inches in his vertical, He got stronger. He's been working out in sand and all type of stuff with different type of techniques. Anywho, can a team like the Houston Rockets, who clearly went small ball at the trade deadline, can they make some noise?
They can make some noise if they're not going to win the championship.
They could catch a team off guard, cause them problems. Their main issue is when they went small ball, their defense is trash. So because of that, that's what's going to hold them. They can look, Houston Rockets can put up numbers with anybody with that small ball. And, of course, you got James Harden, who's going to get every single call in the book his way. That is a factor. Now, it's not taken away from his talent, but he's going to be allowed to take 85 steps. Well, other players can only take two. Fine. But I'll say this. No, let's just think about this. In a tournament, depending on how it's going to be every, you know, maybe best of three, best of five, defense is going to matter. And I think Houston could maybe upset somebody, maybe upset another team. But a championship, uh-uh, no. Plus, let's not forget, Russ is a ball hog. Yeah, Russ is a ball hog. Let's not be fooled by the triple-double and all that. That's very cute. But as far as offensive flow, no. Russ is ball dominant. Harden is ball dominant. If I'm not mistaken, in certain situations, Russ is so ball dominant, they don't really play Russ and Harden together that often, right? Not lately. Not toward the end of the
game. That's true. That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
So, yeah. They're going to be entertaining to watch. That's about it. Yeah.
Okay. So the NBA announced that they're only going to play 8 regular season games and they're going straight to the playoffs. Is 8 regular season games enough games?
See,
it's enough to satisfy the quota.
I didn't hear you, Dave.
It's enough to satisfy the quota, the percentage quota required. That's why it's only 8 games. There's a reason why it's only 8 instead of, let's say, 10. Let's say 12 to get these guys in shape. 8 is the minimum of what gets the cash flow.
Awesome. That's
the hang-up of the motivation.
I got my man Sean Walker on the line from Combs, Michigan. He wanted to chime in. Sean, go ahead.
What's good, Sean?
Hey, Sean.
What's going on, Sean? We're talking a restart of the NBA season, man. Who do you like? Hello, Sean.
What up? What do you guys talk? What's the word right now?
Oh, what's going on, Sean? All right, great, great, great. We're talking the restart of the NBA season, man.
Who do I like? You know,
yeah. Who do you
the
like?
The Bucks are definitely a big. The Bucks are definitely something I could see winning the NBA championship. Milwaukee Bucks, and the. They could.
Hello?
Yeah, I like Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah.
All right. So, okay. So, our next question that we were just currently discussing, Sean, was, you know, the NBA announced that they're going to play 8 regular season games, and then they're going to go right into the playoffs. Do you feel as if 8 games is enough?
Hello?
All right, well, we're going to keep it moving. Hey, so, Dave, talk to me. Do you think 8 games is enough?
I don't. I absolutely do not, based on the time frame these guys have been off. And I just don't think it's enough time. I mean, again, these guys have been doing their own in shape. It's not like they've just been sitting on their behinds or whatever the case may be. But at the same time, I just don't think that's enough time, enough games to get back into competitive at the highest level basketball.
Barack, what you think?
So, and you know what? The 8 games is so few, that leads to the whole reason not to have this season. Because what's 8 games going to do? Now, look, I'm talking back, you know, just to be clear, there's two ways to look at this. There's basketball mind, as far as conditioning, quality of player, chemistry, all that. And, of course, as talked earlier, there's all the business stuff, money stuff. Obviously, this is a money move to agree with the brother that said, well, they got a quota to say, hey, have to have at least these games to do whatever, and here we go again. You know what? Y'all remember when my man Paul George was playing an exhibition game, getting ready for a world tournament, right? And what happened?
Right.
Paul George snaps his leg like a pretzel stick, right?
Absolutely.
I'm not trying to be the Grim Reaper. With these low amount of games of eight games, then a tournament, and look, the players are going to go crazy to the wall. They're not going to mess around. They're like, look, I don't care. The players aren't caring about asterisks and what do we think of the championship. They're like, look, I want an NBA ring. This is my chance to get it. If I got a sock, if I got to be a super physical with whomever to get it, I'm going to get it. So all these players are going to be extra physical after eight games, not completely in shape, way out of sync with their offensive and defensive schemes. There's going to be injuries up the wazoo. Something just nags about, I hope there's not too many Paul Georges out here, man. That's how low the eight games is. It's not enough. It's not remotely acceptable to do that. Not enough. You know,
let me piggyback on what you're saying, brother. Let me piggyback on what you're saying. You're going to have a situation with this where, like I said, I hope there is no Paul George situation as well. But these guys are, we all have been in competitive situations, whatever sport it's been, whatever situation it's been. In a physical game like basketball or whatever the case may be, their juices are going to be flowing, their adrenaline is going to be flowing. They're not going to remember, oh, I've been laid off for X amount of time. I haven't been playing this game. And they're going to go 100% tilt. That's what causes injuries.
Yeah.
Your mind is prepared to do something, but your body is not. And then when you try to perform what your body says, go ahead and do, your body starts speaking up. Like, hey, I ain't ready for this. And that unfortunately is 9 times out of 10 what you see. A hamstring pull or an ankle twisted, whatever the case may be. And again, I pray that these things don't happen. I pray that I'm 100% wrong. We have a quality game of basketball to be coming, but I doubt it very seriously. Like brother said, we're going to go 100% to the tilt once that ball gets tipped up and cats ain't ready. You're mentally ready.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. You're mentally ready, but physically, nothing replaces time. This is why in the coaches' realm, we always talk about the best teacher is playing time. If you're not going to have a player on, if you're not going to play a player on a certain level in high school, especially in high school, we always used to tell each other, if a player, especially if you got a good player, if that player is not going to get any playing time, don't have him on varsity. Don't have him or her on varsity because playing time is the best teacher. You can teach all day in practice. You can run all day in practice. But nothing replaced game speed, game situation, game mentality. And that's what you're going to face when you have these eight games.
And, Dave, I want to ask you this. I mean, from you being on the coaching circuit yourself, from a coaching perspective, what is the NBA asking these coaches to do to go into a week of training camp, and then boom, you straight to Florida, play eight regular season games, then boom, you're right in the tournament. I mean, like, what does that do for a coach asking them to play? What we say, fellas, an NBA team probably play what, three times a week?
Who are we talking about? What teams are we specifically talking about? Because if we're talking about the Milwaukees, the LA Lakers, the Clippers, who know they're in, they're running.
I'm not talking about those 1, 2, 3 teams. I'm talking about maybe that middle echelon group of teams, like say maybe 9 through 22. What are those coaches being asked to do to prepare those guys to be ready to go, to say the NBA might tell y'all got to play 4 or 5 times on a 7-game on a 7-day period versus the 3 to 4 times that the players are used to. So how are coaches going to prepare their team?
same way they prepare their teams in preseason.
Yep.
Same way. You have a regimen. You have a time frame. The head coach and the trainer gets together, and they map out a week. What do we need to do? What time do we need to do this? Then the coaches get together, and they plan out practice. What do we need to work on? What do we need to look at? They see who's their strength and conditioning coach. They all report to the head coach. This is where we're at with levels. This is where I think we're at with levels. And we're talking about getting into the playoffs, so you have to come up with a progression of plan of I need to be at this point by this time. We need to be looking this way. And if we're not, we need to have plan A, B, or C.
All right, Barack, what you think? Is the pressure on the coaches to perform that middle echelon group of teams?
You know what? The pressure won't be from the NBA as a league, but the pressure might be on some idiotic fans of each of these fan bases that'll eventually get drawn into. Okay, so yeah, that's an excellent question. So maybe, okay, we'll go back to them again. So the Lakers, right? Well, that fan base, well, we expect the title, you know, and if these Lakers don't look great, hey, coach, what are you doing? Hey, coach, how come these players are not prepared? They're going to forget everything we're saying. 8 games, shortened season, pandemic, all this stuff. They're not going to care. So that's where the players won't have a lot of pressure because the players are going to be playing hard. They're going to be, you know, people don't want to mess with the players because after all, now unless a player is just screwing up, that's a whole different thing. But a player is like one of these glory guys, unless they really just suck, they're fine. The coach will get pressure from maybe the franchise owner, maybe some of the idiotic fan base. That's about it. But as far as the players looking at the coach.
All right, so let me throw this in there.
Sure.
If one of those middle echelon teams, let's just say, underachieves in Orlando, should a coach be worried about their job?
Not off of this. No, not off of this. And look, you know, and I want to echo what the brother was saying as far as when you get your team prepared. One thing we won't see too much on the sideline is this fancy word called adjustment. Most of these coaches are going to go through the basic plays, right? It's going to be pick and roll. It's going to be a couple zone here or there. If you're getting your butt kicked, that's about it. Anything else? No, sorry, and on defense, man-to-man. That's about it. We're not going to see any crazy stuff. We're going to see some timeouts, run your pick and roll, run some zone if you get your butt kicked, run man-to-man, and, you know, do the best you can. Be sure you communicate and move. That's it. That's all. We're going to see the Phil Jackson style of coach where he'll just sit there and say, Scotty, that's it. That's about it.
Now,
we're not seeing any.
Let me chime in with you on that one. You will see the Lakers. You will see the Lakers run certain stuff. You will see Milwaukee run certain stuff because of the continuity and because of the experience they have, because of the type of players they have. But a team like Phoenix, a team like Portland, they run a straight basic stuff. But L.A., they might run some trick plays. They might try to sneak some stuff in there. They might sneak some stuff in there they was working on before the pandemic came about.
So you're saying teams with chemistry already. Yeah, so you're saying teams with chemistry already will have the chance to go ahead and like actually play some basketball.
Yes, I believe teams like your upper echelon teams and one team that I really think that people are kind of in question about, which is Portland.
Mm-hmm.
I really think those types of teams, based on, like, Portland, with Dame and CJ having played so many years together, they know each other, they know where they like the ball and stuff like that. That type of stuff does factor in when you have layoffs.
Absolutely.
And stuff like that.
And you bring let me add this in, Dave, and you bring in a Carmelo Anthony to that roster. I mean, and let's be honest, guys, before the cancellation of the season, Carmelo Anthony wasn't playing bad basketball. I'm sorry, he just wasn't. He was playing average. I wouldn't say he was playing great, but he wasn't playing trash basketball either.
Right.
No. Yeah. No. But again, it goes down to, like I said, you knowing players. You know what they like. You know what they're capable of doing. And, again, like I said, LeBron and them, they've been working out. So you know they're coming in shape. It's not a question of what – it's just a question of what level of shape are you in. How much work were you putting in when you were off? But knowing a basketball IQ like LeBron has, a basketball IQ that AD has, the camaraderie of playing all these years together that CJ and Dame have, the MVP, reigning MVP in Giannis and his team playing together, those things factor in as you're trying to get ready for this eight-game play-in tournament or eight-game warm-up in some people's cases. Let's be honest.
Right.
This eight games is a warm-up for some of these guys.
Yeah.
The only people that really care about these eight games are Phoenix. The bottom players, the bottom teams that got invited in. That's all this eight games is for. Because, to be honest with you, this is going to be like summer league type stuff for L.A. and all of them.
Absolutely. So with the NBA stating that whoever gets the number one seed will have their home court logo at the neutral site, does that automatically give the number one seed the favorite that their logo is going to be at center court? Or do we believe that since it's at a neutral site, they should go with like a neutral logo since it's a neutral site?
Yeah, to agree with that. And not just that, but that's cheesy. The logo? Really? Well, hey,
I mean,
here's
this ain't
your
the Boston award. This ain't a 1980 Boston Celtics where everybody thought that the Boston Celtics had some mystique in their logo or in their leprechaun or nothing like that. A logo doesn't do anything for you. A logo does nothing for you. It ain't going to help you win no games. It ain't going to help you score no buckets. None of that. So, you know, the only time I ever heard anything about a logo was the 1980 Boston Celtic teams when everybody was like the luck of the Irish and the leprechaun.
But that was,
you know,
but you know what? That wasn't even on the logo. That was on the Boston Garden, the mystique of Boston Garden. It didn't matter about
the
logo.
You're absolutely right. You're right. I stand corrected. You're absolutely right.
It's all
we
good.
Were talking about the Boston Garden. You're right.
Yeah, you know, the parquet floor and the leprechaun mat and the leprechaun, what they say, the leprechaun, they called it the leprechaun magic and all that. So, you know what's funny about NBA, man? If NBA ain't careful, they're going to end up like WWE, man. Because some of these, and it's so fitting that the NBA would be in a Disney resort. How apropos, because that logo idea is a Mickey Mouse idea. Hey, guys, your reward for having a number one seed is going to – that's like saying you can have your mascot for all the games. Or, hey, it'll be your cheerleaders that do the flips. Nobody cares. No one gives a rat butt about your logo. Yeah, that's it. I play for the Pacers, for example. I play for the Pacers, and let's just say in some wild scenario, I'm going against the Lakers. So if I'm Oladipo or whoever I am, I see the Laker logo. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Now my jump shot is different. Oh, wait a minute. Now my crossover is affected because of that Laker logo. Come on.
Oh, and just to throw this in there.
Who thought of that? That, like, that would be an actual reward. Like, who thought of that? I mean,
I'm not to be real
funny and disrespectful to anybody on this panel, but I just want to know who in their right mind already succumbing to the pressures of get these players on the court so we can make this money thought, well, you know what? Let's have the logo if they get the number one. What the hell? Who cares?
Well,
We all know when Woj
drops something on Twitter, ESPN, wherever he drops it, it's validated. We done seen some Mickey Mouse reporters, but when Woj drops something, it's pretty much didn't happen. And Woj dropped it several times that the number one seed will be, I guess, awarded. Is that the right way to put it? Or awarded with their logo for home court.
You know what? I'm gonna tell you who did it. I think somebody from the Detroit Pistons news and update group, they infiltrated the panel and said, hey, I got an idea for you. And so it's not so much the idea, it's who listened. And keep in mind, the panel or the board or whatever they call themselves, they approved of this. Again, this is a Mickey Mouse Disney operation right now. I'm just waiting for them, for the NBA to come out with a movie as cheesy as Space Jam 5 or something like that. After they do one and two, after they do two.
I'm gonna say, this brother, hey, they doing what? They doing two now, so just
right.
Hold on.
Hey, so we only got a few more minutes left in the show, so we
okay.
So Barack, your NBA, your 2019-2020 NBA champion will be.
Nobody that matters. Okay, no. Okay, so here's the team. My bad. Here's the team. My bad, man. All right. I'm going to try to treat this legitimately. 2019-2020 NBA Summer League champion will be I'm going to go number three. Oh, this hurts. Number three choice is the Clippers. Number two choice is the Lakers, and the champion's going to be the Bucks. I'll roll with the Bucks.
Awesome, Dave. The 2019-2020 NBA champion will be
three will be the Bucks. Two will be the Lakers. No, I'm sorry. Two will be the Clippers, and one will be the Lakers.
Respect to that. Yep.
And I'm going with. It's kind of like the WWE scenario. I mean, that the Lakers is in it, but I'm picking the Bucks. Hey, so we're gonna move quickly to shout out. Dave, go ahead and give your shout out.
I just want to shout out you, DT, and my brother that was so gracefully on the panel with me today, and I appreciate the invite and the opportunity. It was a pleasure talking basketball with some people that actually want to talk basketball and not talk emotional basketball. So, again, shout out to you, DT. You're doing some wonderful things. Congratulations on your platform that you got right here with this radio station. I've known you for some years, and I always told you that, you know, one thing that I've always told you is if I ever got a college gig and I had to go recruiting, you'd be my number one hire because you know your game and you know a lot of people, you have a lot of connections, and you're going to be blessed through this. So keep going.
Awesome, man. I appreciate it. Barack, go ahead and shout somebody out, my man.
Oh, wow. So many. Going to keep it short. First of all, shout out to Detroit Pistons News and Updates, best Facebook group. You know, I got to shout out my man DT for doing this. This is something we wanted to do. I'm glad DT is taking the ball up, being consistent, excellent host. My man Dave, it's good to have another coach, someone else that appreciates the game of basketball. You know, to echo what he said, not emotional. Got to shout out our business boss of the team group, Detroit. Got a shout out to Detroit Pistons. Everybody be patient. We're rebuilding.
Yeah.
Calm down.
Yeah.
We're going to be all right.
Yeah.
Awesome. Hey, this is your main man, Sports Talk DT. Man, catch us next Tuesday night right here on IFM Radio Nation, where we will be discussing racial profiling in sports. Racial profiling in sports next Tuesday night. Right here at 8 o'clock, Sports Talk with DT. Hey, y'all have a great night. Make sure y'all tune into the R&R show every Wednesday and Friday night on the IFM Radio Nation. Thanks a lot, guys. Y'all have a great night.
You too, DT.
All right, DT. Later.